Well, it's 5 o'clock here on the West Coast. Time to tune in to the regular wanderings of the pilgrim on the 405 as he blazes a path for all to follow through the strange new world of 21st century sales. So here he is with a weekly report on what he's discovered out there in the wild and woolly wilderness. The one, the only international sales trainer, Will Crist.
Well, welcome. You know, we've been doing a lot of talking, not only on the Pilgrim Talks show, but on another show that I do. Been a lot of talking about what we've been doing over the past couple of years to increase our sales, to reduce our costs, how to maintain our customers, and how to develop our people. Now, lots of CEOs have come up with lots of good ideas, and what I'm really finding as I begin to look around the country at what Fortune 1000 companies doing, about 70-80% of the Fortune 1000 companies, and about 10% of the small and medium business companies are doing, is a whole new way of generating leads and managing those leads, a whole new way of closing. Lots of CEOs don't really understand that sales and the market have changed dramatically. Lots of CEOs think it's just a matter of lazy salespeople or salespeople who aren't doing what they should be doing, or they're accepting excuses from folks that the marketplace is not buying right now. People don't have the money. The economy makes it really difficult. It's really hard out there to sell. I've been talking to lots of CEOs and trying to listen to where they're coming from. And what I realize is when they talk about the difficulties, what they're really saying is they have yet to figure out how to adequately, effectively, efficiently, and consistently with success go about generating new leads in this marketplace. Now, I've seen some sales managers and CEOs come out to their salespeople and tell them that it's really just a matter of making more calls. And they tell them double, triple the number of calls they're making. And they hear, well, we get a lot of voicemail. Well, we got to learn how to get through that voicemail a lot better, get through that gatekeeper, but make more calls. They spend a couple hours, maybe 3 hours, in that sales meeting talking to salespeople. And then they go back into their office, and what do you think has happened over that 2 or 3 hours? Lots of voicemails have come into them, people trying to get in touch with them. What do? They start deleting those voicemails one at a time without listening to them a lot. I wonder how many they call back. I wonder how many they say, gee, I'm really glad that that you called me today. But if they are really doing that to the people who are calling them, where's the disconnect? Don't they understand that that's going on with the people that their salespeople are calling? So while it's important to keep calling, I'm not suggesting that we stop calling, stop trying. I'm not suggesting we take salespeople off the dime and tell them they don't have to call anymore. I do think that there are some more effective ways that we need to add to the mix. Some of that is what I'm discovering on our sister show, the Sales Lead Management Association, which airs on OC Talk Radio at 5 o'clock on Thursday. Now, imagine with me, I want to take a little time today and talk about some of the things that I've discovered, and I want to help some of you listeners to go through a process to help identify what's going on and what the limitations might be to your belief system that get in the way of generating new sales, effectively coming up with leads and coming up with ways of managing those leads. So if you will, take a sheet of paper if you're driving or walking. Imagine that you take a piece of paper. Write down on that piece of paper, first of all, what your marketplace is. So you get really clear. If it's a global marketplace, write it down. That's fine. If it's the United States, okay. If it's Southern California, clearer. If it's Orange County, that's okay too. But write down the dimensions of your marketplace, where you want to have business coming from. Once you have that, then I'd like you to write down a number that represents how much business you want to have in the next 12 months. By the end of 12 months, you'd like to have a total of how many sales? Whatever that number is, 150 million, 300 million, 20 million, 5 million, 2.5 million, 15 million. Write that number down. So now we know where your marketplace is, and we know the amount of sales that you want to have coming from that marketplace. Before you start saying, well, that's going to be really tough, or I really don't know if we can get there, but that's where I want to be, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take a large empty sheet of paper now, and I'd like you to draw a circle that represents the amount of money, not the number of transactions, but the amount of money for transactions in your business niche, in your market area, that will take place over the next 12 months. Not just yours, but your competitors, people like you, anything that's got to do with your product, your service, the money that will move over the next 12 months. I draw a circle that represents that. You don't have to put a value on it. Even if you know it, just draw a circle. Now, if you've got that circle pictured there, that represents all the transactions, the value of all the transactions that are going to take place over the next 12 months in your target market, in your area of goods or services. Now I want you to take a pencil, and you know that number you had up there about how much you want to have? That's the portion of this big circle that you want to have in the next 12 months coming to you. So draw a circle relative to that big circle. Draw a circle that represents the size of how much you are going to be bringing in the next 12 months. Now take a look at those two circles. What do you discover? Is there an aha there? What, if you're like most other CEOs or sales managers, what you've just realized is there is an enormous opportunity that's standing right there in the heart of your marketplace, right in your niche. And the problem is not that people aren't buying, because there's lots of money moving back and going to be moving back over the next 12 months. The problem is not we can't find them, because they're all right there. What's the problem? Is the problem that those customers aren't motivated? Well, they're buying from somebody. They don't need your solution? I doubt that. What's the problem? The problem is we haven't come up with a system for successfully, consistently, effectively, and efficiently identifying those people, those leads, those prospects who both want what we have and need what we have. And that's what I've discovered in the sales lead management show, in talking to CEOs of the top most influential sales lead management companies in America, that the effect, the attempt, the hope, the dream is to come up with systems for identifying and attracting those customers, those prospects, who both want and need what we have. Now, while that might sound a little fuzzy, a little hazy, remember, let's begin with the notion that you put down that that circle is very large relative to the small circle of what you want to get. So inside that large circle, there's lots of transactions going on. And if we listen hard enough, we'll hear there's a lot of pain with the current vendors for many of those customers. And so they're available to you if they could be identified. Now, I know in the past that part of the job of salespeople has been to go out and find, look, dig, and that has been less effective in the last couple of years because people have put up walls around themselves. They don't want to talk. They don't want to be taken for a ride. They don't want to spend money that they don't have to spend. In fact, they would rather buy than be sold to. So what are we learning about what's changed in this marketplace? What we really want to begin doing is we want to take a look at what's happening out in that marketplace. Now, I remember maybe 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, when I was looking around at what CEOs were doing, how they were dealing with marketplace, how they were dealing with computers, what all this email stuff meant to them, you know, 5, 10, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, CEOs didn't treat email like we treat email today. They were treating email like just another form of snail mail, and they had their secretary who maybe they sent to school to learn, or maybe they just said go out and figure out how to do it. They had them print out the email, so it was just to interleave with the rest of the mail they got on their desk. And I thought that that's, you know, that was interesting. I thought that was probably true for a long time. And then a couple of years ago, I began to realize that those same CEOs were not only using email, but whenever they had an issue, they were, guess what? When they had a question, they were, guess, they were just getting on their computer and Googling it. And as they began to do that, they began to look around and they began to find answers to the questions that they had, or they found people who would give them answers. And as they began to do that, this became a significant source of information for them. It became a significant source to begin to identify who they were attracted to find solutions to the problems that they had. Now, let's take a look at what happened. Rather than a salesperson calling up with information, now the buyer has access to all that information before they ever talk to a salesperson. And in fact, they don't even want to talk to a salesperson until they have enough information to sound credible, to be able to make distinctions, to be able to decide whether the salesperson they have is credible, whether that salesperson represents a competent company. And only then do they want to talk to that salesperson. Hey, my goodness gracious. Now, if you stand back and take a look at the internet, when you Google something, very often you'll have comparison charts, you'll have prices from a variety of aggregators that tell you different prices in the marketplace, tell you what the different features and benefits are. You have access to reviews before you ever talk to a salesperson from a company. An enormous amount of information is available. Now, let's back up and take another cut at this problem. Imagine with me that you have a room, and in this room are 1 million people. 1 million people. Now, last couple weeks ago, I was at the Rose Bowl seeing my alma mater, TCU, become as close to the national championship as they've ever come. And in my mind, they are the national champions. Nevertheless, here I was in the Rose Bowl with, I think it was like 87,500 people. Now, that's a lot of people. But can you imagine a room that has 10 or 12 times that number of people? A million people in one place, all asking questions, all looking around for answers to their problems, looking for solutions, looking for people who are in the know, looking for ways to get information. That's what's going on right now on the internet. How many of those million people are looking for you? How many of those people are looking for the solutions that your company brings, either in its services or its products? There's a lot of them out there. In fact, if you use Google Analytics, you can find out how many people this moment are looking for your products, your solutions, your services. If you begin to take the language that they use in looking, take the language that you use in offering, and begin to merge those together so that you're on the same page, not that they're going to be on your page, but that you are on their page, listening to them, you've begun to discover what they look for when they're looking for a solution that you can offer. When you begin to do that, then you have begun the process of attracting people to your company, to your solution. Now remember, that million people out there, they're already in place. Just like that big circle that you drew, those transactions are going to happen whether you succeed or fail. The transactions will happen. The question is, how many of those transactions will involve you? Now, certainly, some of that is going to be influenced by how active your salespeople are in the market using the tools that they've had traditionally, looking for referrals, talking to current customers and past customers, people who aren't buying right now but could again. That's certainly part of it. But if you're trying to increase that circle, generate new leads, it's not only going to be by going out and grabbing those people, it's going to be by attracting them because you know the language that they use when they're looking for, when they have problems that you can solve. And you know the language that they use when they ask about how to find those answers and solutions. For instance, if you had a flat tire on your car outside your house, do you think you'd Google AAA or flat tire or how do I get a repair in this particular area? I don't know how many people still use Yellow Pages, but I know that lots of those Yellow Pages have migrated to the web and they're competing for the same eyeball, the same ear, the same dollar that all of those people who are already on the internet are competing for. So I'm asking you, how are you participating in that conversation that people are having right now? They're asking those questions. Now, here's another very concrete question. Are you waiting for them to somehow find your website, dig through that website to find the solution that you propose to their problem? Probably not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. So what are you doing to listen for those people who, remember, right now are asking those questions? They have traditionally purchased solutions that you can offer, but there are people out there who are frustrated with their current provider of those goods or services. They're upset because they can't get on the phone. They're pulling their hair out because the prices are very erratic or are climbing quickly. There are many reasons that they're sitting there in pain. But are you within earshot of them? And if you are within earshot of them, Can you go over them and say, hey, if this is your problem, would you like to have some conversation about that? All right. Now, most people, when you're in the midst of a million people, are not going to sit there in the midst of that million people and try to have a reasonable conversation. So doesn't it make sense that you would say, come on over to this corner or into this other room, and let's see if we can identify what your problems are, and let's see if we can identify some solutions that we might be able to bring to the table. In internet parlance, that's called a landing page. This is not your home page on your internet site. This is a page that's directly related to the question that that prospect, that potential customer is asking. It's put in the language that you've learned that they use. And so when they click saying, yeah, I'd like to talk a little bit more about this, can you tell me some more? They wind up on a page where you're telling them some more. In fact, you're telling them enough that they're interested and willing to share with you in a conversation. And in order to get into that conversation, not only do they have to read or listen or look at the video that's there, they also have to, in order to continue the conversation, they have to at least give you their email and maybe their first name so that you can then continue that conversation. And you continue that conversation with First, an automated response. I mean, you certainly don't have to have somebody sitting there waiting for somebody to hit a landing page to type up a response. There are ways of having automated responses, and they can become part of a conversation that's ongoing about their issue. And at some point, they will do one of three things. They will either say, you know, I'm tired of this, I don't need it anymore, and they'll opt out. Or they'll say, well, this is fine. I'd like to continue listening, watching, being part of this. And maybe I'll participate in the conversation by making some comments on the blog or sending in my own email or picking up the phone or getting on the chat box. Or they'll say, it's time. I want to talk to you about purchasing. Now, any one of those three things are acceptable in a conversation. People can walk away from a conversation. I don't think you stop talking. I don't think you give up conversation when somebody walks away. You look for other people who are attracted to you, who might want to have that conversation. And remember, you drew that circle, not me. There's lots of people out there who want to have that conversation right now. The question is, are you available to them? Are you available to attract them into your conversation room? And do you have a system for tracking them once they're in that room? Do you have a system for tracking them? Do you have a system for scoring their behaviors so that you know that they've opened one email, five emails, 10 emails, that they forwarded that to other people in their organization? Do you know how often they come to your website, come back to your website? Do you know if they've listened to any of the videos you had on the website, specifically on that landing page? Have they downloaded any of the white papers that you put up there specifically to help them learn more about the problem that they have, the context in which that problem is? Not to give them your solutions, but to let them know that they're not alone in the world and that you are highly competent and that you know what they're talking about and you're credible because of the material that's there and some of the questions that you're asking. Now, that system is called a nurturing system. This is not drip marketing anymore. This is not still going out to grab somebody. This is to nurture them in the conversation. You know how to keep a conversation going. You begin to ask questions. You begin to supply anecdotes, not about you, but about them, about things that they're interested in. And so that nurturing process is part of what the Sales Lead Management Association is learning about. That's what we're learning about on Thursday afternoon. These pieces of the new sales puzzle are being worked out by a variety of companies around the United States because it's important that we not use the wrong resources in trying to solve these problems. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Let's try another little exercise. Take the amount of revenue that you expect your salespeople to bring in over the next 12 months. Get that number down. Now, before you think about that, and we're going to go to a commercial here in just a moment. But I want you to think about how much you expect that sales force to bring in over the next 12 months. Then I want you to think about how many people are going to bring that in. So divide that by the number of people who are going to bring that in, and divide that number by 2,000, which is the number of hours that a salesperson typically is going to spend. Take a look at that, and right after this break, we'll come back and talk about what that means in terms of using resources.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
All right, so now if you've done your math correctly, let's go back and review. You've taken the amount of revenue. Now, this is not just ongoing revenue. This is the amount of new revenue you expect your salespeople to bring in the next 12 months. Divide that by the number of salespeople that you have who are going to go to work on it. And then divide that by 2,000 hours. Now, what you have now is the value to the company in terms of gross revenue of the hour that that salesperson spends. If you want to get precise about it, you can use the gross margin for it and come up precisely with their contribution to the bottom line per hour. Now, some people look at that and then they wind up with numbers like $300 an hour, $500, $800 an hour, sometimes enormous numbers. What's that mean? Well, are we expecting those salespeople to be spending that kind of time, that kind of resource on cold calling? And by the way, what's the skill set that our professional salespeople who know how to close a deal or how to disqualify it, what's the skill set that's necessary for those higher level tasks? And are those skill sets available to the salesperson? The skill set for cold calling and nurturing on a long-term relationship. Are we willing to spend the kind of resource value that you just discovered on those tasks? Or are there more effective, more efficient, less costly ways of doing that, to take up less time? Now, that's part of the system that we're all learning. Now, I don't propose to you that the Pilgrim on the 405 has all the answers to that. Now, what I generally have is a lot of questions. But I am seeing some patterns begin to form. And what it tells me is that there is a whole new way that we have to learn about how to attract people who are both have the need and are motivated to buy from us. So the question is, what is your system for first attracting leads? And then we're going to ask the question is, what is your system then for qualifying those leads? What is your system for nurturing those leads who are qualified but not yet ready to buy? And then finally, what is your system for managing the entire process? So let's begin. How many leads do you get right now per week or per month? Can you track it? Do you have those figures before you on your desktop as a dashboard so that you can see that on a regular basis? Can you tell when you're getting more leads? Can you tell when you're getting less leads? Can you tell if those leads are highly qualified or not so qualified? If you can't measure it and track it, then it's very difficult to know when to turn up the heat and when to turn the heat down. It's difficult to know whether you have too many leads or not enough. It's difficult to know whether those leads are quality or not quality. Now, I've known a number of different companies who went out and generated lots of leads over the last 12 months. But then they found out that after making, calling a couple of those leads and maybe 20, 30% of those leads, and the salespeople quit calling them because they discovered that these leads were not qualified. They were generated by incentive programs like golf ball sleeves. If you'll take our meeting, we'll give you a golf. We'll give you any one of significant number. I mean, any one of a number of significant or insignificant tchotchkes. But what they found out was that they weren't generating qualified leads. They were generating people who were willing to put up with a salesperson's call in order to get the gift. Meetings around meals were important at one point. And so people began to generate places, interesting restaurants to attract people. And once they had them there, then the idea presumably was that these people would turn into leads. It's surprising that lots of people need to go to lunch someplace, and so they simply said, I'll be delighted to come to lunch. But when it came time afterward to follow up and find out what they had in mind, getting the steak or finding out what this new restaurant was all about. So it's very important to track the quality of leads that we're getting and be sure that what we're doing is incentivizing the people who are generating leads. It's incentivizing them to get to be able to disqualify people who don't really want to buy or don't have a need to buy or aren't going to buy from us. So the question is, what are you using to generate leads right now? How are you measuring it? And what could you do differently? First difference after we come up with a system for measuring it, because that's essential. If we're going to be spending money on generating leads and we can't measure the leads coming in, we can't track the quality of those leads, we can't get a report on it, then we're back to where advertising was with John Wanamaker. I remember what he said was, I spend a lot of money on advertising. I know half of it's wasted. Unfortunately, I don't know which half. Well, given the kind of electronic and digital tracking that we can do today, not only do you know which half is wasted, we can instantaneously stop spending that half, and we can put more of the wasted half into being more productive in the productive half. Those are the things that are making marketing much more of a science than a creative endeavor. So being able to track those leads is essential. And once we have that tracking down, then we might be willing to investigate the possibility of spending a little money on generating new leads. Now, generating new leads means beginning with the question, who do we want to talk to? Who, what does that prospect look like, smell like, sound like? Where are they asking these questions? What do those questions sound like? So getting a very clear template about what my ideal prospect looks like. Sometimes it has to do with demographics, size of the company. It might be what level do I want to be talking to? Do I want to be talking to CEO? Do I want to be talking to IT manager? HR people? Depending on what I want to offer, who has the decision making power? We know that a lot of that treated C-level people because of decisions by CEOs to not spend any money. Well, of course they're going to spend money. They just want to make sure that they're going to get a return on their investment when they spend it. So they pull it back to the C-level. But now the question is, where are those decisions being made? And once you begin to identify that, identify the size company you want to work with, you identify where you want them to be, what kind of needs they might have, anything that can be used to identify that prospective lead, that they might be asking those questions. And you can do that, identify that, get that template together. There's some software out there called BroadLook. There's many different ones. We've interviewed BroadLook on the SLMA radio show, so I'm familiar with what they do. But BroadLook can take a look at your marketplace, and they can help you generate an enormous number of leads that look like, walk like that template that you just put together. So that's a way of generating those leads. And you don't have to buy the software. Sometimes it's you simply outsource that to a service provider who has that software. But those tools are out there to generate leads. Now, if you can do that for less than what it would cost your salespeople, if you can do it more effectively than what your salespeople could do, would it make any sense to take a look at that? So this is in part building up this system for how we're going to identify those leads that are out there right now in that big circle that you drew at the beginning of our conversation today. Now, as long as you believe that there are people out there actually buying the goods and services that you supply, then the question is, how do we attract them into a conversation with us? Because without that conversation, nothing happens. Now, I know that nothing happens until we make a sale, but I would suggest to you that no sales happen until we start a conversation. So it's, how do we get those conversations going? Traditionally, it was pick up the phone and call, put an ad on the radio, not working so well anymore. So how do we get those conversations to get started? First, we identify who it is that we want to have the conversation with. Tools like BroadLook can help us identify those people out there. Now, once we have those people, then we might want to drop them an email. And by the way, BroadLook is going to find all sorts of information about them, their telephone numbers, their email addresses, where they've been. It pulls in all the information from LinkedIn, Facebook, all the websites out there. It could look at various industry groups, membership groups, anything that's available on the internet, it can pull together for you in a very quick fashion. Now, once you have that, then you can begin to ask people if they want to have this conversation, if they have these particular issues. Ask them to come to your site. Ask them to come to this landing page, this conversation room specifically built for their particular issues. Now, once they do, it doesn't mean they're going to buy. It doesn't mean that this is going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I just noticed that you just came to our website. Do you want to buy our stuff? That's not what this is about. This is about generating a conversation. This is about beginning to put together this section of this large room of people out there on the internet that are asking all these questions some of whom are asking questions about your goods and services, about the solutions that your goods and services bring. So identifying, getting that put together. Once we have that, then the next step is something that groups like Silver Pop, Marketo, Eloqua, Nurture HQ, these are very similar, different features to them, but they're all there to automate your marketing on the internet. They can also include marketing, radio, television, print ads, but the whole point of Eloqua, Silver Pop, Nurture HQ, Marketo is to assist your marketing team in automating the responses, getting that conversation going on a regular basis. Once you put that information like white papers or videos that aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg to generate, all it takes is a flip camera and a little bit of time and a little bit of courage, and you've got something up there that is credible because it is a little shaky. It's credible because it looks like the other videos on YouTube. It's credible because you're talking, you can be talking directly to people who are going to listen to it about issues that they're seeking right now, because that's how they got there, because they asked the question. So this marketing automation puts that up there, tracks behaviors of people on the site, can tell you exactly how many times they opened an email or how many emails they did open from you, and it will send out emails on a regular basis. It can automate responses to emails or requests that people have. It can tell you how many times they opened the video, how many times they passed that along to other people, to friends, to whom they passed it on to, what people in that organization are seeing this. It can tell you where they've been on your website. All of these little pieces here add up to what's called lead scoring, because these people become these potential customers become leads, and they have certain behaviors on it. And as they begin to move through your site, as they begin to consume some of the information, look at what you put there, as they begin to educate themselves, participate in the conversation, you can track that behavior. There are some things, or there are a total of things, that you'll begin to associate with a buying gesture or a buying signal. And there's certain thresholds of activities and behaviors that people will exhibit, and that's the time to open up the conversation with them on the phone. That's the time that lead gets moved from the nurturer, it becomes moved from nurturing into a conversation. Now, this might initially be with somebody who just wants to talk to them, or it might be to, as somebody put it in a conversation I had earlier today, the big guns in our sales team, the people who can then carry this, or can quickly decide whether or not this person is a real opportunity, whether they're a fully qualified sales-ready lead or whether they're not. And if they're not, they're not just terminated. They're not just thrown out of the database. They're thrown back into that nurturing part of your marketing campaign. And so they continue to be there until, again, they surface with either the right lead scoring or doing the behaviors that would suggest that they're ready to talk to somebody. So that salesperson, when they get that sales-ready lead, determines whether or not they're ready to buy. If they're not, goes back into nurturing. If they are, then it proceeds down the sales process. Now, these pieces are pieces out there right now that you don't have to generate for yourself. For those of you who are in manufacturing, I know that you regularly buy machines. I know that you don't have to know how to build those machines in order to use them. I also know that you know the value of finding a professional technician to maintain that machine, to make sure that machine is producing at its highest level. You use all sorts of analytics on it. You regularly maintain it. Think about these systems as machines. Each of these pieces that I've talked to you, BroadLook, used in order to generate a list for you of all the possibilities in all the information that would be valuable to you in your marketplace for potential leads. That's a system, and you want to have professionals who are attending to that system. You may not be able to afford to put those technicians for your new machines on your payroll. You may have to use consultants. You may have to use outsourcing. But there are ways of doing it, and you do it all the time. And you know how to make those machines work by using people who are resources. The same thing is true about marketing today. It's a systematic approach that has to show a return on any investment, just like that machine that's sitting there, that new machine that's sitting there on your production floor. Marketing now can produce an ROI. It can predict it, and it can tweak what it's doing in order to accomplish it, and it can demonstrate it at the end. And that's where marketing is today. So when you look at something like BroadLook, you can find out, you can track the quality of those leads it's producing. You can track the amount and the volume that it's using. So BroadLook was there to generate those new leads. Once they get into our nurturing area, we can use things like Marketo, Eloqua, Silverpop. If you want to, you can use things that are much more hands-on, like Constant Contact, Vertical Response, Infusionsoft. These are other companies that provide services that are more constricted and constrained and take a lot more of your time because they're not as automated as some of the other ones that I was speaking about. But nevertheless, this is where you spend the resources in nurturing people, keeping that conversation going. Again, the systems are there. It's learning how to use those systems. It's finding people who have a professional understanding of those systems and can put them into place. They can track what's going on. They first envision what's happening because of what they expect to have happen based upon the template that you gave them. They help generate the content that's going to be effective in keeping that conversation going. It's going to be attractive enough. It's going to be winsome enough so that people will appreciate what you're doing to help them learn a little bit more about what's going on in the context of their problem, about how others are solving the problem, about how the problem can be solved, about maybe what you've done for other people through testimonials. And then it's going to track their behavior in the conversation. Those systems are available to you right now. And then finally, there are ways, after you turn it over to your salespeople, there are ways of helping them to minimize the time that they spend. Traditionally, salespeople had lots of time. It's been compressed now dramatically. Your expectations are much higher in terms of what you're expecting people to produce per hour. And so there are tools out there like Insight2, like Salesforce.com. Insight2 sits on top of Salesforce to help make it a more efficient, more effective way of managing calling for that initial qualification, but also following along all the way through to the process. So lots of tools out there. Then I guess the question is, how do we know which tool to use? I'd suggest that if you haven't joined the Sales Lead Management Association, that you go to theslma.com, sign up for the free membership, and take a look at the resources that are available to you on that site. You might begin to listen to the conversations that we have on Thursday afternoon. you might begin to listen to some of the people who were on this radio show on Wednesday afternoon who are actually using these tools and begin to hear from them what they've done, what's been working for them. All of this begins back there with that circle. If you drew a larger circle than the circle that represents what you need to have or what you want to have over the next 12 months, what that should say to you is there are lots of opportunities out there. And unless I've got real duds for salespeople, and I doubt that all of you do, because there are some very good salespeople in this marketplace, it might be that they just don't have the tools, that they haven't discovered the system, and they aren't getting that kind of strategic insight that I know that the C-level people provide for production floors and for financial decisions and for resource procurement. The whole sales and marketing world has become much more scientific, much more structured, much more systematic. And that's not something that you need to expect your salespeople to generate any more than you would expect your production line to generate new manufacturing processes or your bookkeeper to generate new credit lines from your banker. Strategically, that's the responsibility of the C-level. So finding ways to teach yourself, to educate yourself on what's going on in the systematics of marketing and selling today, finding people who are credible, you can trust, people who will help you, people that that you believe are sitting on your side of the table, not theirs, people who are there to help you succeed, not just to make another sale. Finding those people who are your strategic advisors as you move through this dramatic transformation of marketing and sales, beginning to take advantage of the resources that are there in this whole new digital world. Tremendous resources. It's lots of opportunities. There are some obstacles, have to do with resources, have to do with time, have to do with learning, technical ability, and commitment. So as you begin to move through there, finding people who will hold your hand might be a little simplistic, but people who will be there to help talk to you. And remember, they probably don't have all the answers, because every day there are new answers being generated. There are new processes that are coming up. But I can tell you right now that the people that I talk to who are the 50 most influential, the CEOs of the 50 most influential companies in sales lead management marketing automation tell me that 75% of the Fortune 1000 have adopted systematic marketing and selling, and they have processes in place right now that are continually being monitored, that are being transformed, they're being upgraded, they're being tweaked to maximize their effectiveness. 70% of the Fortune 1000 companies have already implemented this. 10% of the small and medium businesses are currently using these systems. Where do you want your company to be? What part do you want to play in this new marketing and new sales transformation? It's systematic. It's measurable. It has a discipline of its own, and it produces. I invite you to consider what's going on. Take a look at that circle that you drew at the very beginning and ask yourself, how will I attract those new customers into conversations with me and my marketing programs? How will I measure their behaviors? Who do I want to have in that conversation? And how will I nurture them over the time that it takes for them to get ready to buy from me? And then how do I engage my current salespeople in the process where they pick up and help to make that qualification so that they are disqualifying people who aren't ready to buy or who will never buy, terminating some, putting others back in the nurturing program, and then taking those who are fully qualified and moving them either to a no, to a yes, or a clear next step. Well, that's a little bit of what this pilgrim on the 405 has been learning when he gets thrown out into a national group of sales lead management association members. There's a big world out there. I know that we existed for a long time on the way that it used to be. And I know that we are saying to ourselves, well, the economy's coming back, so maybe it'll get back to where it used to be. Don't believe it. Don't let go. It's not going back to where it was. It's certainly going to get better. There's a whole new world. It's accessible to you. You can be part of it. It will bring you the resources, the strength, and the revenue that was represented by that circle that you had inside that circle. So I invite you into that world that this pilgrim is discovering every day in new ways. So that's it for the Pilgrim on the 405 on this nice, beautiful day in Laguna Beach. Thanks for your time here. I look forward to talking with you again next week. We'll have some interesting people who are using these tools, people who are struggling with how to implement them in their business, and we'll also hear from people who are supplying some of those tools to them. So, from the Pilgrim on the 405, have a great week. Get out there and pay attention to those two circles. Bring in and find all that revenue that you're looking for.
You've been listening to the one and only Pilgrim on the 405, only on octalkradio.net. Stick around for some special information on how you too can host your own show right here on octalkradio.net.